peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text for this morning's sermon is taken from St. Mark's Gospel account, 7th chapter. Beloved in the Lord, the Pharisees claimed that their tradition safeguarded God's law. It was to them like a pious hedge built around the holiness of God. In theory, if one could keep the tradition of the elders, then one could be sure that they hadn't transgressed God's law. This morning, in our text, the Pharisees take issue with Jesus and his disciples because they didn't wash their hands before eating. Don't misunderstand, beloved, neither the Pharisees nor Jesus and his disciples were concerned about hygiene. The Pharisees weren't worried about germs, and neither was Jesus. The issue was spiritual ritual purity. The issue was being clean. Not common, nor unclean, but clean. The tradition of the elders had extended the Levitical requirements for ritual purity to the everyday lives of God's people. The Pharisees washed, baptized their hands before they ate, just in case they came into any contact with a Gentile during the day. The Jews, after all, were to be a nation of priests before their God. And so in their minds, what was given to those serving in the temple in Jerusalem was also given to those in everyday life. They washed, they baptized everything and anything that could make them ritually unclean or ritually common. But Jesus and his disciples didn't. And if Jesus didn't keep the tradition of the elders, well, then he and his disciples, having rubbed elbows with hemorrhaging women, having brushed up against dead bodies, could very well be ritually compromised. You can just imagine all the Jews freaking out because Jesus' disciples didn't wash their hands. Did you see that? What? They didn't wash before eating. Oh my, God have mercy on their souls. What were they thinking? Don't they know? Don't they care? When confronted, because the Pharisees just couldn't sit by and watch this unfold before their eyes, Jesus calls them out. Well, did Isaiah prophesy concerning you, hypocrites? Jesus shines the light of God's law, the very law which the Pharisees are doing their best to keep. He shines the light not on their rituals, not on their works, but on their heart. The Pharisees are all concerned about washing the outside. Jesus is concerned about the inside. The Pharisees are concerned about what they do, their works. Jesus is concerned about their heart. This people honor me with their lips, Isaiah says, but their hearts are far from me. The issue for the Pharisees is tradition. The issue for Jesus is hypocrisy. Using the word like a sharp two-edged scalpel, Jesus wields the word to go straight to the heart, to their heart and your heart. But like the Jews in our text, we are a people and culture concerned about externals, things on the outside. The Pharisees were good people, pious people, religious people. They are the best that old Adam can be on the outside. But in reality, they're like whitewashed tombs. They look clean, but they're actually full of dry bones. We are a people more concerned about looking good to others and looking good to God than we are about actually fearing, loving, and trusting in God above all things and serving our neighbor. Under the guise of religious piety, we often neglect our vocations. Masking our hypocrisy with praise, we offer up to God our good works. Covering the outside with fig leaves, we hope no one actually sees our shame. Pursuing pursuing every religious fad that comes out of popular culture. We give the impression of spiritual vitality and vigor, when in reality, in the depths of our hearts, we're hungry, thirsty, unclean, weak, and weary because of our sin. Jesus says that this sort of pious hypocrisy not only masks the true nature of our hearts, but actually makes it impossible to serve our neighbor. The Jews thought that any gift given to the temple was a good work for God, when in reality they were neglecting the care for their parents. The good that they thought they were doing for God actually prevented them from doing any good for their neighbor. And so, beloved, when our piety takes us away from our vocations, they're neither good nor pleasing in God's eyes, and they actually deny those whom God has placed in our lives the love and care His law demands. Mm-hmm. Yep. Where does this sort of hypocrisy show up in our own lives? Well, Jesus hits the nail on the head in our text. It begins with the fourth commandment, with families. Husbands and wives, parents and children, moms and dads. Everyone tirelessly trying to be something more than what God has told us to be. Dads trying to be the fun dads, concerned more about spending quality time with their families than spending quantity time actually parenting. And moms trying to be super moms, concerned more about providing a memorable childhood full of rich and exciting experiences than providing a home. Parents trying to raise well-rounded children at the expense of raising godly children. Mm-hmm. Husbands working overtime to pay for it all, neglecting both their wives and their children. Wives advancing their careers at the expense of their marriage, raising children who never experience a godly home because mom and dad aren't home. Always pursuing what they think it means to be a good parent. The list could go on and on as each of you consider your own chaotic lives. Everyone tries to do their best, but few these days consider what God actually says is best. What's the result of all of this? If we're honest, exhaustion. Hunger for something more meaningful, more lasting. Thirst for something more refreshing and enduring. Misspent lives, wasted time, trivial experiences, and an overall sense of failure. The conscience knows. God desires something more than just outward appearances. What we've done, no matter our good intentions, won't cover our shame. Beloved, only Jesus can bring order out of chaos. Only Jesus can satisfy the hungry heart. Only Jesus can quench our thirst for life and life everlasting. Only Jesus can clean our conscience, redeem our days, and give meaning to our existence and true Sabbath rest for our souls. It all starts with Jesus. For you see, beloved, the heart of man always wants to give something to God, whether it's works or praise or love or spiritual devotions or our pious lives. That's old Adam's best. But old Adam's best isn't good enough. There's no gift that we can give to God that can wash away the stains of our sins on the inside. There's no work that we can do that can cover our shame. Sin has to be washed away. Not just the removal of stains from the flesh from the outside, but the removal of every spot and blemish on the inside, in the depths, from the heart. Jesus goes for the heart. Your heart. To redeem your heart and so your whole person, Jesus offers Himself. Jesus is your korban, your gift to God in your place. For he alone has fulfilled all righteousness. He alone went about doing good without any sin. He alone loved God and neighbor perfectly. He alone is good, the good son, honoring his parents and God his father. He alone is the good husband, surrendering his life for his bride, sanctifying and cleansing her with the washing of water through the word. He alone is the good neighbor, the good shepherd, the good physician, the good king, and our good God. For no one is good but God alone, and he is God, the Word made flesh to redeem you and me from our sins. Therefore, he alone has come to be for you and me in the world the new Adam, the one sent by God to save sinners, to save you. To save you, he dies for you, for the wages of sin is death. And he alone is God's perfect sacrifice, the Lamb of God come to take away the sins of the world, even your sins. His life, therefore, is ended so that your life is everlasting. His heart is stopped so that your heart is reborn. His flesh is broken so that your flesh and blood is atoned for. His body is raised from the dead on the third day, so that your body is raised on the last day. Everything, beloved, not only starts with Jesus, but ends with Jesus. For in Jesus' death and resurrection, all is tetelestai. It is finished, completed, paid for. Nothing more needed, nothing more to give, nothing more demanded. Jesus fulfills God's demands perfectly and to the fullest for you and for all people. His salvation doesn't begin with you, nor does it end with you. Jesus didn't just get the ball rolling, and now, like the Greek Sisyphus, you have to roll this huge boulder up a hill all on your own. He didn't just start your salvation, he is your salvation. His redemption isn't partial, it lacks nothing. If you have Jesus by grace through faith, you have salvation. For salvation isn't based on your works, the reforming of your ways, your outward appearances. Fig leaves aren't good enough to stand in God's presence. No, beloved, Jesus' salvation doesn't just wash the outside, but actually cleanses the inside, the heart. Your heart. Jesus doesn't call his followers to reformation, but to regeneration. He's not about reforming the outward man, but renewing the inner person. Jesus goes to the heart. Your heart. And this he does by the washing of renewal and regeneration of the Holy Spirit, whom he's poured out upon us richly in the waters of baptism. For baptism is not just the removal of dirt from the flesh. That's what the Pharisees were doing over and over and over again. No, baptism is the pledge of a good conscience towards God at a one-time event in a particular place and time for you. For there is one Lord and one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. And who's doing the pledging? Who's doing the baptizing? Jesus. Mm-hmm. Jesus cleanses his people by the washing of water through the word. Jesus, the only good God, the only good person, the new Adam, pledges his conscience to God on your behalf. He stands between you and the Father as your perfection, so that when the Father looks upon you, his baptized child, he sees Jesus, his righteousness, his death for sin, his resurrection, and his ascension to the right hand of God. This promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off and from God and their neighbor. Beloved in the Lord, this washing, this baptism, and our continual living in these waters by faith has set us free from our bondage to pious appearance. We Christians have been baptized into Christ. We are new creations. We have been crucified with Christ, and we have been raised with Christ. And the life we live is not our own, but Christ living in us. And with Christ living in us, the life we want to live, we are given to live in newness of life towards God our Father. How do we do that? We live out our salvation with love. not for the sake of appearances, but for the sake of goodness. And God's goodness is manifested in family. Husbands loving their wives and wives respecting their husbands. The two not separate but equal. Not separate and equal, but one. Together in their respective vocation, serving one another out of reverence for Christ. One in focus, one in attention, given to those whom God has given each to love and care for. Children. Dads, forsaking the pressures to be fun dad one day a week and fulfilling their vocation to be around every day. Moms, surrendering the desire to be super, providing the joys of a godly home. Parents, passing on the faith to the next generation, and then the next generation returning thanks to God by caring for their parents. This, beloved, is a life that is free in Christ, free from the false pieties of this world, free to love as the Lord instructs, free to live in the joy of Jesus. Such a life is nourished with bread, the bread of life, and is refreshed with living water. Such a life flows from the cross of Christ through the word of God to the heart of those who believe it, and it's put into practice with love and good works toward others. This is what Jesus offers you today. A full life. A rich life. A life abounding with unimaginable joys. A life that begins with the heart and finds its end in the life everlasting in paradise. God grant you such a life by grace through faith in Christ today. Amen. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.